NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, die Band Wolf Alice aus London. Zwei Bandmitglieder sind dabei, Theo und Ellie von der Gruppe. Und sie kommen beide gleich zu Wort. Erstmal Musik von ihrem Debütalbum My Love Is Cool. Hier ist Wolf Alice mit Lisbon. So, das war Lisbon von Wolf Alice von dem Album My Love Is Cool von 2015. Bei mir im Studio sind Ellie und Theo von der Band. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello.
Glad you could make it. It's a bit of a misnomer because I kind of thought that you'd hardly ever been to Hamburg, but apparently you have been quite regular visitors without me realizing. I was probably always working probably when you were here and just missed on all your gigs, but you're kind of quite familiar with the city.
We haven't been here enough, but yeah, we've been here a couple of times to play at the Club Molotov in both its forms. I think it relocated at one point and we played both of them, I think.
Right. Okay, so you have pleasant memories of the city then?
Yeah, we went to the last time we were, well, not the last time, one of the times we were here was the fairground that we just drove past on the way here, and I remember being on the top of that ride and our guitarist crying on the top of it.
Right, okay.
So that was good, so that's my
fondest. You're going back there later tonight, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Ja, also ich war irgendwie der Meinung, dass die Band nur ganz selten hier gewesen ist. Und jetzt haben sie mir erzählt, bevor wir angefangen haben, dass sie eigentlich ziemlich oft hier waren. Zweimal zumindest in Molotow. Und sie haben eine ganz deutliche Erinnerung, wie sie dann auf dem Dom waren, in der Achterbahn, und wie sie da Angst gehabt haben und geweint haben. Und sie haben eigentlich sehr schöne Erinnerungen an die Stadt Hamburg. Also so weit, so gut. And I suppose it must seem a bit like old hat to you really now, this album, 2015. You know, we're really expecting you to come with a new album, but this tour has been delayed, and so you're still, in a sense, promoting this record, aren't you? Does it seem like a... I mean, has there been, in terms of how you feel about the album, is there kind of a shift of emphasis in that way? Do you actually feel differently about the album than you did maybe this time last year?
I don't think I feel any differently about it. I guess it's a tiny bit less exciting to play now that we've played it so many times. But, you know, with each country you go to and each crowd you play to, that's what keeps it exciting, you know. So, no, I think we're still having a really good time.
And do you feel the same?
I feel exactly the same. No, it's true, though. What Ellie says is a different crowd, you know. The crowd we play to tonight will give it a different, like, lease of life as well. You know, that's the beautiful thing about playing music, yeah. So people reacting to it and stuff.
So it keeps the songs alive, doesn't it?
100%, yeah. That's really important. It's kind of like almost 50-50 in the live environment for us sometimes.
So you can actually understand the Rolling Stones still playing Satisfaction then?
Definitely. It's such a big tune as well. Who'd get tired of playing that riff and swanning around?
Right. Ja, also das Album ist schon ein bisschen älter und es hat eben lange gedauert, bis sie diese Tournee hinbekommen haben. Und es wurde schon einmal abgesagt und deshalb sind die Songs natürlich nicht mehr ganz so neu. Das Album ist über ein Jahr alt und wir hoffen eigentlich fast auf ein neues Album schon. Und sie sagen schon, dass das Album ist natürlich für sie nicht mehr ganz so frisch, nicht ganz so neu. Und es vielleicht, denkt man im ersten Moment, vielleicht nicht ganz so aufregend, wie es am Anfang gewesen ist. Andererseits merken sie jedes Mal, wenn sie auf die Bühne gehen, dass das Publikum immer anders ist in jedem Ort. Und durch das Publikum kriegen die Songs im Prinzip ein neues Leben. Und deshalb bleibt es eigentlich immer noch sehr spannend. It's interesting, really, because from the German perspective, you were kind of like a hyped band from England, and then people kind of found out, well, actually, it took you 5 years to make an album, which is, you know, just the opposite, really, to what people think of hyped bands, because they tend to sort of thrust into the limelight after one single. Whereas, in fact, in your case, it's been a very long building process, isn't it? And was that a deliberate thing, or did you didn't really get your act together beforehand? I mean, how does it seem in hindsight now? Did it seem like a slow building process, or did it seem like just a natural process, or...?
I guess with a debut album, you don't really have 5 years to make it. You have your whole life to make it, you know. So I don't know where 5 years really came from. But yes, I think we did take our time, unlike a lot of bands who get some hype on the internet, get some hype around their live shows. They might feel a pressure to put out an album as quickly as possible. And we did take our time in a way, but, you know, we were waiting until we were ready. We were waiting until we had found the right people to work with. There were a lot of factors to take into mind, and I think we did it the right way.
So you didn't actually feel like you were slow coaches in that respect? Or did it seem like, oh, can't we get this together at last?
In context with other people, your peers maybe releasing records before you, it can be deemed that way. But I think we're really proud of what came from the amount of time and the way that we set up doing that record. We're happy with what came from it. So, no, I think we feel good. We put out two EPs and two singles before that, which was almost, you know, 12 tracks, which is...
People tend to forget about that, don't they? Because they were a bit more obscure by comparison, weren't they? Because they weren't marketed in the same aggressive way. Whatever.
Exactly. I feel like, you know, we now kind of have quite a good solid amount of material for us to be able to, that's given us this leverage to tour so kind of consistently around the world.
Right. Ja, es hat eben 5 Jahre gedauert, bis sie das Debütalbum veröffentlicht haben. Und es ist eigentlich komisch, weil man denkt bei gehypten Bands, und es war so eine gehypte Geschichte in England, dass alles sehr schnell passiert, so Blitzerfolg über Nacht. Und das war eigentlich gar nicht der Fall. Also wenn man die Entwicklung der Band genau verfolgt hat, dann 5 Jahre hat es gedauert. Und sie wissen, dass es auch so lange war. Und sie bereuen es auch gar nicht. Sie meinen, es war ein ganz natürlicher Prozess eigentlich. Sie haben sich einfach nicht beeilt. Sie haben gewartet, bis sie die richtigen Menschen gefunden haben, mit denen sie zusammenarbeiten wollten. Was zum Beispiel die Produktion betrifft, und es scheint eigentlich eine ganz natürliche Entwicklung zu sein. Und sie freuen sich auch, dass sie sich irgendwie im Prinzip solche Zeit gelassen haben. Und man darf auch nicht vergessen, dass es auch ein paar EPs gegeben hat. Insgesamt 12 Songs im Grunde genommen, bevor das Debütalbum erschienen ist. Insofern ist es nicht, als ob sie irgendwie nur faul rumgesessen haben und nichts auf die Reihe gekriegt haben. I do actually want to play the track Blush, actually, I think, because it's a lesser known track by, you know, a lot of people will know the album, not necessarily know the really early material. Yeah. Does that seem like almost like another life to you now?
No, not really. Blush is kind of a fan favourite, so we still play it in our set, even our short sets. And even though it's on from the earlier EP, you know, it's been online for a long time, and we've played it for a long time. So I think people are more familiar with it than would. You would expect. So, right.
Okay.
And we like that song.
Well, obviously. Yeah. Nobody can force you to play it, no. Right. But was it like maybe the first time where you felt you were finding your feet as a band, do you think? Because there was something really kind of fluent about that song, I think, in a way. It sounded like a band, it sounded like a band with its own real kind of identity, you know what I mean?
Not really. I think we had a few different kind of versions of it. It was always floating around in different, different kind of
incarnations.
Yeah. And then we went on to make songs totally different. So, but yeah, I suppose it was the first.
It was one of the earlier batches of songs that I suppose the four of us had played together, and it was the first time we spent we did this EP in 4 days, but a bit of time in the studio in an actual professional environment. So maybe it kind of that EP is us taking baby steps towards learning what we can achieve in a proper studio environment.
Right, okay. Ja, wir hören gleich das Stück Blush, und das ist von ihrer EP Blush, das war 2013. Und das sind Songs, die weniger bekannt sind. Also viele Leute kennen das auch, My Love Is Cool inzwischen, aber nicht unbedingt die ersten EPs. Und wir hören das Titelstück auch gleich. Und es ist ein Song, der ihnen immer noch viel bedeutet, weil es ein Lieblingssong ist von den Fans. Und sie spielen es deshalb immer noch gerne live. Und es gab immer so verschiedene Versionen von dem Song, die man auch online auch hören konnte. Und es ist auch schon eine sehr lange Zeit online gewesen, ist einer ihrer ersten Songs. Und sie sagen, das ist im Prinzip ein Beispiel dafür, ja, so von den ersten Schritten der Band, positive Schritte, wo es eindeutig war, dass die Band allmählich eine eigene Identität aufgebaut hat, wo sie ein bisschen ein Gefühl für ihr eigenes Potenzial bekommen haben. Also wir hören jetzt das Titelstück Blush von der EP Blush von Wolf Alice 2013. So das war Blush von Wolf Alice, und bei mir im Studio sind Ellie und Theo von der Band. Evident with the album My Love Is Cool is the fact that there's so many standout tracks, and a lot has been written about you. And I was reading a few reviews just this morning, actually, just to refresh my mind about what people really thought of that album. And interesting, most people seem to be quite positive about it, but everybody seems to have their own different favourites. It's like nobody seems to agree on their favourites. And some people say, well, that's a weak track. And in the next review, they say, well, that's one of the strongest tracks. I think, now, why does that come from? I mean, do you think maybe because you're doing so many different things musically, which can't please everybody?
Yeah, I noticed that as well when I was kind of reading through things on the internet. And I think we feel quite proud of that. It's hard, the fact that there's people have so many different ones and whatever you just said. I guess it's kind of mirrored in our audience as well, that there's quite a range of ages at our shows, and people often compare us to quite different things, and I don't know, maybe that's kind of a product of our like varying influences in our and our kind of mantra that we you know, we let songs go in whatever direction they feel most natural to, regardless of genre and regardless of what's cool, or you know. So
were you worried that the end product might not be cohesive? I mean, is there a worry about that?
Take that massively into account when it comes to the song. We always say it's what parts and what sonics sound best for the song. So that's why we don't have a consistent stylistic point. You know, he could say, like, we're just a straight indie band or a straight this band. And if something does sound disjointed to us, then, you know, we wouldn't want it to be like a half rap, half folk, half harpsichord record.
Not all over the place.
But, you know, whether other people think it's that. That does sound quite cool now, though. Maybe that'll be the next record.
It's a really fragmented album.
Yeah, but no, you know, you take that into account.
And I think if you spend a solid amount of time, like one period in a studio with the same producer, there's going to be things that tie all together naturally anyway.
Well,
so you don't have to worry about
it. Well, that's his job to do that, really. That's his job to achieve that, isn't it? Yeah.
There's also
there's quite a well-known producer, wasn't it? He worked with the Arctic Monkeys and people like that, hasn't
Mike,
it?
Mike Crossley, yeah.
Yeah,
I suppose also to a point that, you know, the four of us have played these songs for so long, it shares a DNA and has a Wolf Alice sound to it, I think, when I listen to it back personally. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's eclectic is a posh way of saying it.
Yeah, I mean, the only song which sounds really out of the ordinary in that context is probably Swallowtail. I mean,
it's a different voice.
Yeah, it's a different voice. So that kind of that jumps out at you as being kind of really unusual in the context of the album, but the rest of it does actually sound like it all adds up somehow.
Yeah,
yeah.
The different voice thing, it's quite, you know, you have this same timbre throughout the whole record of listening to the same voice. With the bands like Queens of the Stone Age, their early records, they had, like, you know, Mark Lanegan and Nick Olivieri taking a song, and we always quite like that. And Joel's got quite a nice voice as well. I think it's quite a...
You have to look past the fact that it's a different voice and then it kind of still fits, hopefully.
Yeah, but you're not feeling any sense of competition in that respect? You're still the main man?
I'm the main man, and Joel's the main woman. No competition at all. Like, Joel's always been a singer, and it would be a waste to not have it feature on our work, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ja, sie meinen auch, dass sie sehr unterschiedlich sind stilistisch, dass sie decken eigentlich viele, sie haben so eine große Variationsbreite eigentlich, so was die Stilrichtung ihrer Musik betrifft. Und ich habe auch gefragt, ob es nicht irgendwie eine Sorge für sie wäre, dass sie das Gefühl hätten, dass es vielleicht zu unterschiedlich ist, dass es gar nicht mehr so einheitlich klingen würde. Und es war einerseits eine Sorge, aber andererseits denken Sie, dass Sie das Problem ganz gut gelöst haben. Sie haben letztendlich einen Produzenten gehabt, der das auch verstanden hat. Also wie man so einen vernünftigen Sound hinbekommt, damit die Band so eine einheitliche Identität hat. Und dennoch ist es reizvoll für Sie, also nicht so eindimensional zu denken und zu versuchen, tatsächlich so viel wie möglich zu variieren. Und dadurch dann bleibt es auch interessant. Und ich meinte auch, dass es eigentlich nur ein Stück auf dem Album gibt, Swallowtail, das ganz irgendwie aus dem Rahmen fällt, eigentlich hauptsächlich deshalb, weil es ein anderer Sänger ist, also Joel's, und das ist eigentlich so Gastgesang, und sie stehen dazu, dass es zwar ein bisschen aus dem Rahmen fällt, aber das macht das Album auch besonders reizvoll, und letztendlich, wenn man das Album von vorne bis hinten durchhört, meinen sie, dann hat es schon so eine Art so durchgängige Identität, und es klingt nicht irgendwie widersprüchlich. Maybe it'd be wise to actually listen to that song now as a case in point, because it's gone to great length to explain it all to everyone. So let's go ahead with it. Swallowtail from All My Love Is Cool from Wolf Alice. Das war so Swallowtail von All My Love Is Cool from Wolf Alice bei mir im Studio. Es sind Ellie und Theo von der Band. Is this right? What I read about is that you actually started off as an acoustic duo years and years ago. Is that right, or is that just a bit of a legend, or is it a myth?
When I first started playing music in front of an audience, it was Joff and I and another friend of ours, and we played. Joff played the acoustic guitar, and the friend and I sang, and we played in open mics around pubs. So I don't know if it was the start, you know, that we had a vision that that was the kind of music we wanted to play. It was nothing like that. It was just.
It was your own material. Or were you just singing
Wonderwall? It was an own material, yeah.
Right, okay.
So it was a start, in a sense. It was a start of something. But, yeah, it wasn't like we changed a direction. It was just progression and confidence and and meeting different people, you know. So. Yeah.
And do you think that that if you start, like, in a simple way, where, you know, it's like acoustic guitar and vocals, it's easy to keep it pure, isn't it? And then the bigger you get and the bigger the sound gets, then the more, I won't say watered down, that purity doesn't have to get watered down, but there's more of a danger involved that it could get distorted in some way, or that it could distort the truth. I mean, have you ever been apprehensive about that? Do you actually manage to think you can always keep that intact without even having to worry about that?
I think that is something to it's a concern, and definitely you should think about it. I think starting acoustically is really important in that sense, because the basis of everything is the songwriting, and then you build on that. So you're not, you know, just disguising bad songs with volume or performance or whatever.
Pedals, yeah.
Sure.
We do that as well, though.
But yeah, I mean, we do that, and so yeah, it's about getting the balance of both. But it's an interesting thing.
Mm. Yeah. Ja, also Ellie meint auch, dass sie, als sie angefangen hat, dann war es nur akustische Musik, die sie gespielt hat, bevor sie es professionell betrieben hat. Und zwar mit Joff in der Band und mit einem Freund. Und die haben gesungen und akustische Gitarre gehabt und das war's. Und sie meinte, sie weiß nicht, ob man das im Nachhinein wirklich als der eigentliche Anfang betrachten kann, weil es nicht richtig professionell war in dem Sinne. Aber dennoch war es, das war so der Anfang, das waren so die ersten Schritte. Und sie meinte, dass wenn man so anfängt, dann bleibt es natürlich alles sehr rein und einfach und sehr schlicht, die Herangehensweise. Und die Authentizität, also kann man gar nicht in Frage stellen. Und wenn man natürlich eine richtige Band hat, mit viel mehr Instrumentierung und vielleicht mit verzerrten Gitarren und mit Effekten jeglicher Art, kann es die Reinheit der Kunst beeinträchtigen, wenn man nicht aufpasst. Und sie meinen, sie glauben nicht, dass es ihnen passiert ist, aber durchaus ist es eine Gefahr. Und sie müssen im Prinzip auch immer darüber nachdenken und dafür sorgen, dass es auch so wahrheitsgemäß und wahrhaftig bleibt, das, was sie tun. I think it's interesting because people have talked to you in terms of being like grunge, a mixture of grunge and folk and things like that. And of course, grunge was essentially American. But I think that, I suppose, technically speaking, there's a certain amount of truth in that. But I think whatever you do, it always sounds really British, I think. Like, even like Giant Peach, for example, it couldn't be American to me. It couldn't come from Boston, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has to come from England, that. You know what I mean? So it's not true anymore, unless there's something, such a thing as English grunge these days. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just, you know, a cross-section of influences and the fact that we are a British band, you know. We're a fan of grunge music, but we're a fan of a lot of different types of guitar music. And I don't know whether it's the lyrical content or the delivery or something. That's another factor, you know, not having an American accent.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it, to sound British, then, if you actually are from London. You are London-born and bred, are you?
Yeah, both of us.
Yeah, both of you are, right, okay. Yeah. And, I mean, do you think that has been of great importance, I mean, to come from, like, the main place in Great Britain musically? I mean, people say it's not really necessary anymore, that you can come from Glasgow these days, and you can come from Manchester or Liverpool, can't you? But, and did you sense it was an advantage to be in London, to actually make a start and to thrive creatively?
In hindsight, yeah, 100%. I think we were lucky. You know, speaking to some of our friends who are from different places, and there was only, you had to be of a certain level for those bands to pass through your city or your town or whatever, whereas in London everyone passes through, you know. So if you liked a band, there's a high chance you'd be able to go and see it. And also, even as an under 18-year-old, there was opportunities to see tons of bands, and, you know, in different kind of environments, nightclubs and, you know, different types of venues and free things and you know, so...
There's so much going on in London, you can see probably one of your favourite bands every week almost, or a band you enjoy. The only thing that I think we were mildly jealous of is the community aspect that you can get with a band that comes from a place like... But when we were around Birmingham, there was this B-Town scene that was happening. And it's quite envious because, you know, it's a smaller place and you have this camaraderie and all these people coming up together.
That's and if you if you wanted to get involved in music, if you're from a smaller place, it's because it's so condensed and you'd know where to look. Whereas, I don't know, me personally growing up in London, when I wanted to be in a band, where do I start? You know, like, you know, it's quite hard to refine the scene.
Yeah. You don't know what tube station to get out at then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dalston or Camden or Peckham.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't see the wood for the trees, I suppose, then, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost oversaturated.
And so you think that people from, like, smaller towns or smaller scenes maybe got better friends than you think?
Well, I think you're just easier to find the scene.
Yeah.
Whereas, but then also perhaps less opportunity and less variation, maybe.
Less opportunities to play, et cetera, and stuff, but it's...
Yeah, this all revolves around one club, doesn't it?
It's kind of, yeah, and I think that's what I'm getting at when I say we envied that. Is you know, that's a scene in my head. That's a scene. London's got there's so much going on. It's so spread out.
Yeah,
that that's the only thing that it lacks. But I think it's an advantage if you want to digest a massive amount of music and educate yourself from a really young age, live and recorded.
Ich meinte eben, dass die Band auf jeden Fall sehr britisch klingt und sogar wenn sie grunge-artige Einflüsse haben. Wie zum Beispiel, ich meinte das Beispiel Giant Peach, dann klingen sie trotzdem immer sehr englisch. Und das ist eigentlich unverwechselbar. Trotz amerikanischer Einflüsse klingen sie britisch. Und das haben sie auch bestätigt. Sie meinen, es liegt eben daran, also dass sie in London aufgewachsen sind, dass sie sehr viele Einflüsse tatsächlich so bemerkt haben und mitgenommen haben. Und diese Einflüsse haben dafür gesorgt, dass sie sehr vielseitig sind in ihrer Denkweise, aber natürlich trotzdem ihre Herkunft bleibt ihre Herkunft. Und das ist letztendlich das, was die Band ausmacht. Und sie freuen sich auch, dass sie in London geboren und aufgewachsen sind. Sie meinen, es ist auf jeden Fall ein Vorteil gewesen, weil sie einfach so viel mit der Kultur zu tun gehabt haben, dass sie einfach sehr viel mitbekommen haben, letztendlich mehr Gelegenheiten gehabt haben. Ab und zu mal sind sie neidisch auf Bands gewesen, die aus kleineren Städten kommt, weil in London gibt es vielleicht nicht derselbe Sinn für Gemeinschaft unter Musikern. Das ist vielleicht der einzige Unterschied. Aber ansonsten denken sie durchaus, dass sie profitiert haben davon, dass sie in London letztendlich groß rausgekommen sind. Wir hören jetzt das Stück, das ich gerade erwähnt habe. Es ist Giant Peach von dem Album My Love Is Cool von Wolf Alice. Das war Giant Peach von Wolf Alice von dem Album My Love Is Cool. Bei mir im Studio sind immer noch Ellie und Theo von der Band. I've Got You My Mind, looking back, as being like the last band that NME actually tried to kind of make really big before they more or less collapsed. Well, they still exist, but not in a satisfactory
different
manner.
Different incarnation.
Yeah, different incarnation, yeah.
Is what I'll say.
Yeah, well, that's a euphemism for it, yeah. But, you know, I've been doing this job a long time, and it kind of makes me think, you know, does indie music reach the end of the line eventually? Is there going to be an end of the line to it? Or is there always going to be a new Wolf Alice every 5 years? Or is there going to be a new Arctic Monkey? Is there always going to be somebody writing the next chapter? Or do you think that...
It depends on what you define as indie music, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I suppose it's quite a difficult one. But if by my definition, which is like, you know, something that's interesting and alternative to something else, and I don't know, those kind of bands always summed up being exciting, then I think it will definitely always happen. There'll definitely always be like, well, we're not a reactionary band, but I think there'll always be like reactionary culture bringing out like something that wasn't in people's conscious before. Like grime music, I'd say, is of a similar ilk this year. It's something that's been thrust into like the limelight after 15 years as an underground scene. That's something that's, you know, it's not played by four people with guitars, but it's equally got the punk energy of like a Sex Pistols show, probably.
Right.
So I don't know, I hope there won't be an end of indie music.
It'll always be there, it's just whether radio and, you know, media give it coverage and stuff, or if people, you know, to make the give it a wider audience, but it's totally there if you want to find it.
Mm. Sure.
Playlist culture doesn't help that stuff. Like, you know, there's the idea that you have to, there's radio songs for bands and you have to write this certain, use this 3 minute 30 song and stuff like that. I think that's a bit annoying. I think one thing I would always think would be great to change is if DJs, if it stopped being like a producer chosen playlist thing, it was independent to the DJ and you had the free roam to play the songs you like and the bands you like. I think that's something that's lacking and could help.
Which lots of radio stations do do, but you know, perhaps not the massive ones.
Well, not during the day normally, but look, evening slots normally.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not referring to the kind of smaller stuff, but, you know, the main outlets, I suppose.
Ja, ich fragte, ob Sie das Gefühl haben, dass ob es immer so Indie-Rock-Musik geben wird, weil ich denke dran, wie die Musikzeitung NME, die renommierte englische Zeitung, die im Prinzip nicht mehr richtig existiert. Das war die letzte Band, die von NME tatsächlich so groß gehypt wurde, Wolf Alice. Und jetzt gibt es die Zeitung eigentlich gar nicht mehr richtig, zumindest nicht mehr zu kaufen. Gibt es nur noch umsonst irgendwo in London zu sehen, in irgendwelchen Cafés und so. Und sie sagen, ja, also sie denken, es wird immer noch solche Musik, immer interessante neue Musik geben. Und es ist die Frage natürlich, also wie groß das Publikum dafür sein wird. Aber sie sagen, dass es wird immer neue, interessante, spannende Musik geben. Und Theo nannte das Beispiel mit Grime-Musik. Gibt es zwar seit 15 Jahren, aber gerade im Moment ist es auch besonders spannend, meint er, in Großbritannien, und hat genauso viel Energie und ist genauso rau und frisch und wichtig wie die Punkmusik von Bands wie die Sex Pistols. Und es ist, er meinte, es wird immer spannende neue Szenen geben. To what extent do you actually feel the obligation, sort of, in artistic sense, to push the music forward? I mean, you're at an age where, you will have absorbed music from the past, you're listening to music from now, you know, like you talk about the grime music from now and stuff. And do you actually consciously think about where are we going to fit and where do we want to fit in? Is it our obligation to be innovative, or are we just continuing a tradition in some way, or trying to... Or are you just trying to be a good band? Are you just trying to write decent songs, or what is it? You know, is it a big vision or is it a smaller vision?
I think creatively you want to try and be innovative, not for anyone else, but for yourself. You know, that's what's fun, to experiment and to explore and then to create. So I wouldn't never be like, oh, I don't, like this song sounds like another, sounds too much like 90s shoegaze song, so I'm going to change it and put a rap over it. If that doesn't work, then I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I might experiment with that, but then I will do whatever makes the song the best it can be. And if that's, innovative. You know, innovative, then fab. But if it's not, then that's fine. It's a song that I'm going to enjoy, it doesn't matter if you can imagine Nirvana, or you know, like, or even, you know, I don't know, whatever. But so yeah.
Okay. Ja, Sie meinen, dass Sie sich nicht verpflichtet fühlen, innovativ zu sein, aber Sie freuen sich schon natürlich, wenn Sie es dann schaffen, innovativ zu sein. Also, aber das machen Sie für sich, nicht weil Sie denken, dass es eine Verpflichtung ist, moralisch oder irgendwie anders. Sie sagen, dass es dann eigentlich einfach eine schöne Aufgabe ist, was Spannendes zu schaffen. Das ist eine gute Herausforderung. Aber Sie tun nichts aus reinem Selbstzweck. Wenn Sie zum Beispiel irgendwas geschrieben haben, das ein bisschen klingt wie 90er Jahre Shoegaze, dann sagen Sie nicht, nee, das dürfen wir nicht zulassen. Und wir müssen das Stück mit Rap verbinden, damit ist es dann irgendwie ein bisschen irgendwie zeitgemäßer klingt. Das würden sie niemals tun. Die würden vielleicht damit experimentieren, aber letztendlich soll es einfach nur gut klingen und es soll ihnen gefallen. Und wenn es tatsächlich, wenn Innovation tatsächlich als Nebeneffekt dann dabei ist, wunderbar, muss aber eigentlich auch nicht sein. Did you two have a particular role model, like one particular role model, or was it just lots
like
and lots of different
band, or
yeah, band or
no,
one artist?
We've never had that. Never had like that. You know, unifying one thing, or even individually, I don't think, which is probably good.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, because it's
we should just do. I think we have like a few mantras that are like trust your gut and. What comes from us is going to be like kind of the best thing, like in terms
of.
We
have musical like references and stuff you know, bounce back to a lot. But
there's no like, you know, way that a band did something that we want to emulate. We want to do it on our own trajectory that's organic and natural to us, I think.
Ja, Sie sagen, dass Sie kein richtiges Vorbild haben in dem Sinne. Also kein einziges Mitglied in der Band hat ein absolutes Vorbild, wo Sie sagen, also das ist das, was wir wirklich anstreben oder wir wollen sowas Ähnliches übertreffen oder nachahmen. Also, und das denken Sie, sei nicht auch ganz gut so, dass Sie nicht so solche Helden gehabt haben in Ihrer Vergangenheit, weil Sie legen großen Wert drauf, tatsächlich im Prinzip eine eigene Identität zu haben und eigenwillig zu sein und eigensinnig zu sein. Do you think it, I mean, they are group compositions, aren't they?
Yeah.
First and foremost, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and you write the lyrics, is that right?
For the most part.
For the most part, yeah. Because of the name, because you're the singer and it's essentially your lyrics, do you think in a sense, did they feel a bit more like your property rather than group property? Does it, because it's kind of your life, your emotions, and maybe your vulnerability you're talking about, not Theo's, whatever, you know, I don't know.
Yes and no. I think no, because I can feel like, I can feel a certain, you know, someone else's song can hit me just as hard as my own. You know, that's why, you know, you return to the same albums all the time, you know, and you become fans of things. They mean something to you, even though you didn't make them up, you know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't, you'd have to ask, but I guess there is a certain, if you're talking about, if it's a personal song, then yes, I suppose it probably means not more, but
there's a difference.
It's just different, yeah.
But, you know, the way that they're built and the fact that we're in the studio together and we're a collaborative band in the sense that we create together, the emotion becomes shared in the recording process quite a lot of the time. You invest emotion by listening to it.
Sure.
And you're kind of sharing in an experience in a way.
Yeah.
So I think, I'd like to think that we all are on the same page.
Right.
We're all heartbroken and sad and really happy. A bit horny.
Just basically just normal human beings, really.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Normal human beings from London.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Ellie schreibt überwiegend die Texte und sie meint, dass es ist vielleicht auch ein Grund, warum man behaupten könnte, dass die Songs eigentlich eher gehören, dass sie mehr Eigentum sind als Gruppeneigentum. Aber er meinte, Theo, dass das relativiert dadurch, dass sie im Studio sehr viel Zeit zusammen verbringen und durch die Aufnahme, durch die Produktion, es ist eigentlich auch so, es bringt die dann natürlich zusammen und die kriegen alle so ein Verständnis für die Lieder. Und deshalb haben sie schon das Gefühl, dass sie die Songs gemeinsam besitzen. Sie meinte natürlich, wenn ein Song besonders persönlich ist, dann vermittelt es ein bisschen so das Gefühl, als ob es irgendwie so mehr so ihre Geschichte wäre. Aber letztendlich meinte er, dass sie letztendlich alle emotional auf derselben Ebene sind, auf demselben Niveau. Right, so, yeah, it's getting warm in here. So.
I like it. It's going to turn into a proper hip-hop video shoot.
It's getting warm in here, yeah. And it's time for us to wind things up. So what would you like to hear to finish off then? Is there a really important song on the album which we haven't played yet? I'm not saying that there are songs which are less important or more important. But
they're all equally important.
Yeah. You don't need to be irritated by me, what I've written here, you know.
What would you like to listen to right now if you could listen to one of your songs on your album, My Love Is Cool, June 22nd, 2015?
Your Love's Whore?
Yeah, good. Cross-section of all of our influences there, Fia.
Yeah, it's my favourite track, actually, so I'm glad you chose that one.
Good. That's so, worked out really well, actually.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, but if you'd chosen another one, I wouldn't say, well, I wouldn't have told you, well, that's not my favourite track.
You, know? You wouldn't have?
No, I wouldn't have said, no.
You'd have said it was your favourite track.
I just wouldn't have said anything at all.
Okay, how about no? How about Your Love's Whore?
Yeah, so do you think it's going to be a band with longevity? I mean, you've been around long enough to be able to judge that now, don't you think? I mean,
I think it's not for us to say, but well, we would very much hope so. And I think we're working with a good team who are not just trying to, you know, have some instant success. They are trying to help us build a career, and I think, you know, we have that in our hopes.
In our hopes and hearts.
Hearts and hopes. So, yeah, we would like to think so.
Yeah, we wouldn't do it if we didn't think he had longevity as well. If you didn't think he had longevity, you'd
probably... Oh, I'd still do it if it was a bit of a year of
actually,
fun.
Actually, yeah. Like, sorry, we would still do it.
And are you all kind of, like, stable enough to actually see it through, you know?
Mentally, no. Physically, potentially, but I have a terrible headache.
No.
Financially, no. But, you just got to, you know, buy a ticket and have a check it out, see if there's any longevity in it. We're starting to look old now, though, that's the thing. I need glasses now as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many old rock bands these days, there's nothing to worry about, is it? You know, in fact, the older you are, kind of the cooler it gets.
The more page you get for festivals, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The headliners tend to be about 70 years old these days, don't they? So
That's the way I like it. Go away for a bit, come back.
You have a break for like 25 years.
Is it,
like the Who did. You know, I think they took 25 years off and then they made a really rotten album.
Really? 25 years off is a laugh. What are you up to, John? 25 years off. What are you doing? 25-year break.
Even more than the Stone Roses. Yeah. Okay, so wir hören jetzt zum Schluss Your Love's Whore, mein Lieblingsstück von dem Album. Und Sie sagen auch sehr repräsentativ für die Band. Eigentlich im Prinzip alle Einflüsse, die Sie drauf haben, sind in diesem Song verkörpert. Also ein passender Abschluss. Und Sie glauben schon, dass eine Band ist mit Langlebigkeit. Und Sie wissen gar nicht, ob Sie wirklich stabil genug sind. Also mental und körperlich und finanziell, um das überhaupt so lange durchzuhalten. Aber Sie hoffen natürlich auf das Beste. Sie haben es nicht vor, sich zu trennen demnächst. Raoul, thanks very much for coming out to talk to me. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for having us.
And I hope to see you again soon.
Thank
okay.
you.
So meine Studiogäste waren Ellie und Theo von der Band Wolf Alice. Wir hören jetzt von dem Album My Love is Cool, Your Love's Whore. Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Und ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.